Something I came across fairly recently in the ESV study Bible, so it must be true, is that Psalm 98 could be labeled as the Christmas Psalm. The Christmas Psalm. Apparently it lies behind Isaac Watts' famous carol we're going to close with this morning, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." It's a psalm that clearly calls for joyful singing, verse 4. Even calls us, those who maybe aren't so confident singing, just to make a joyful noise even to the Lord, verses 4 and 6. But it's a psalm that, as I read it, as I thought about it, what came to my mind was that scene on the hills of Bethlehem back in Luke chapter 2, when the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds out in the field. And you read in verse 10 how the shepherds are told, "Fear not," or "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." We looked at those verses a couple of Sundays ago, at the reasons for why a Savior being born would or should create such great joy for everyone. So, embracing the unavoidable this morning and sounding repetitious through this Christmas season, I'm going to be a little different and use this Psalm 98 to look at why we should be so joyful as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Psalm 98 has three groups of verses 1 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 9. We're only focusing on the first group this morning, verses 1 to 3. But just look at those other two groups. For example, look at verses 4 to 6 and how the psalmist, whoever he is, but he calls on all the earth, the whole earth, to make a joyful noise to the Lord and to break forth into joyous song and sing praises. I was listening to the BBC Radio 4 this morning, and they were giving a sort of a Christmas celebration from Palestine, from Bethlehem. And if you go on through various websites, you'll see people all over the world are celebrating in their way, their cultural way, their traditional way, but they are celebrating that Christ has come. They are giving thanks. They are being joyful, as the psalmist here calls the whole world to do, to join together in singing joyfully, even playing instruments joyfully in response to what God has done. In the third group, verses 7 to 9, not only are people called to and get involved in this joyful singing, the whole of creation is invited. Nature here is joined in celebrating what God has done. The sea, the rivers, the hills, they're described like human-like. And so what we read of are, what is it, rivers clapping their hands, hills singing for joy. But the psalmist here is wanting them to get involved in the celebration and the joy before the Lord, their Creator. And then just one more thing in verse 9. You see there how the joy is expressed in the coming of the Lord to judge the earth. Clap their hands, sing for joy, for he comes to judge the earth. And there the joy is related to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he returns to do those things, he will judge the world with righteousness, the peoples with complete fairness. Kind of strange thing to be joyful about. Joy in judgment. Wow, that's difficult to swallow. Joy in judgment. And yet when we step back and we think of the injustices of our world, they will finally be dealt with then when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. The terrible abuses that occur in our world day by day, hour by hour even in places. But they will be confronted on that last day when Jesus Christ returns. Even nature, even creation, which is so abused, so decimated, creation will rejoice that those who plundered the seas and the forests and so forth will face judgment. Joy in judgment. There's a real sense here the writer is himself full of joy. Full of joy over what God will do, but also full of joy because of what God has done. I wonder if you ever met a Christian full of joy. Really full of joy. Overflowing. I knew one when I was up in Wooler, and slightly uncomfortable, actually. Slightly uncomfortable. Because they exposed in me my lack of joy. It challenged me. This particular lovely Christian woman was just full of joy all the time. It was amazing, but she so loved the Lord. She was so grateful to God for what God had done for her. And this person, this psalmist, I see her in him, in what he says and what he calls us all to do. Well, this Christmas morning, we're giving thanks to God for what he has done for us to be joyful in. And I want to focus just as we close in verses 1 to 3. And those opening verses there are all about God's salvation, how his righteousness has been revealed both to Israel and in the sight of all the nations. That sounds so similar to what Simeon felt. Remember Simeon when Joseph and Mary brought their baby Jesus to the temple, and he said, look, I can die now happily. I can happily die because now my eyes have seen your salvation, the salvation which you, Lord, have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. We're to be joyful, first of all, for he has done marvelous things. Marvelous things. The NIV says wondrous things. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and we think of him as our Savior, then from conception to ascension, he has done marvelous things. We think of the whole nativity story and the way God worked in that and through that, the details of it. It's not just the virgin birth, which is marvelous and miraculous, but everything else, the angelic appearances, the dreams, the warnings, the encouragements. And then think of the life of Christ and the marvelous things he did through his earthly ministry. We looked in those seven signs that Jesus did to prove his identity. We looked at those seven sayings Jesus said to affirm who he is. These are things that Christ did. These are things that Christ said. And of course, we think of his death and resurrection, that deliberate path that Jesus took, knowing what lay ahead, purposefully doing it for your sake and for mine. Marvelous things that we can rejoice in this morning because our Christ has come. And so, yes, we can be joyful for that salvation. God's salvation as an expression of his righteousness. That's what Paul tells us in Romans 3. How God's righteousness is revealed through faith in Jesus Christ. So it's our salvation that makes us joyful, makes us thankful this morning. But you know, it's not ours, actually. It's not ours, it's God's. That's the point of the psalm. It's God's, his salvation, which he offers to us as a gift, that those who believe could then be justified. Justified in the sight of God by the grace of God and through the redemption from God that is in Jesus Christ. So what a relief then this morning to be reminded that we are made right with God, not through anything that we could do, but through all that God has done. He says, his right hand, his holy arm have worked salvation for him. He did it. His salvation that we then make our salvation simply through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came to seek and to save the lost, who came to seek and to save the likes of you and I, wherever we are, however far we are from God this morning, Christ came for us, for you and for me. He came to give his life for us. He came to die for us, to give his life in exchange for us, that we could be brought back near to God again. So it's in Christ alone that we have this salvation, that we have this hope this morning. Christ came proclaiming it in his preaching. He came to secure it through his death. He came to prove it in his resurrection, that he is certainly able to give everlasting life to those who trust in him for it. And then finally, we can be joyful this morning because of the range of this salvation. As we said to the kids, look at the end of verse 3, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Yes, Christ came to the Jew first, for sure. He came to them, he came to those who were his own, and yet they did not want him. They did not recognize him. But now also Christ comes through the preaching of his message. Christ comes to the ends of the world. His message is proclaimed that all who call on his name shall be saved. So we talk about, come now, let us go to Bethlehem. Let's not stay in Bethlehem, though. Because that Bethlehem message comes to Biker today, this morning, for all who will believe. So as we think about gifts this morning and who got what and what else you might have wanted, but God's gift of salvation in his Son Jesus is perfect. It's perfect for all the peoples of the world. Whatever your cultural background may be, whatever your personality might be, whatever your problem might be, Jesus is perfect for you. Without distinction, without exclusion. But as Paul says, there is no difference between us whatsoever. For we all have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. And we all can be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So we rejoice joyfully this morning because that Redeemer has now come to us, Jesus. Salvation is now freely offered to the world, to Biker and beyond, to the whole length of the world. Jesus is able to save. So, as the psalmist says, let us make a joyful noise to the Lord, certainly this morning. But for those of us who know him as our Savior, may our whole lives be a joyful noise to the Lord and before the world around us. Well, let's close with that hymn I mentioned earlier, Joy to the World.